Well, hello, and welcome to Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love the most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that turning into our weekly chats will push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there is something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Sandy, Elizabeth, and Laura. You know, there are many different ways to experience the world around us. And this week, we thought it would be fun to take a closer look at one of the fastest growing types of travel, independent travel, and especially doing that in Europe. So let's ask ourselves, what is independent travel?
Yeah, so I think the first thing we need to clarify is we're not talking about solo travel. We've done that. We've done that topic a couple of times. So this is not you traveling by yourself.
It's basically anti-tour.
Right. Yeah. It's basically you creating, well, you doing your own itinerary, no fixed. Well, that's not even true. Gosh, we don't even
it's
have a definition.
Together an itinerary that's not based on you getting on a motor coach with other people or anything like that. You pick your hotel, you pick your excursions, you pick your activities, that kind of thing.
You pick how long you stay.
Bus.
Right. You pick how long you stay in a particular
tour bus, but anti having the cookie cutter tour bus experience where everything is with one tour bus and there might be 45 people on it. And,
right.
You know.
Which is not bad. It's just not for everybody.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
so I think it's more pro dictating your own length of time stay, because one of the advantages of an escorted tour is that you get to see a whole lot in a short period of time, because all the logistics are pretty much taken care of for you without having to rely on public transportation or anything. It's all built to move you, whereas the disadvantage is that means that you only have 2 hours at this place and you have 5 hours at this place, and
you might switch your hotel
you might switch your hotel every night. So depending on what your goal is, you know, do you want to see lots and lots of things in a limited amount of time, or do you want to spend more time on particular things? So, and independent travel is geared for the latter.
And you might see it written other places called flexible travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that this appeals the most to, and I'm totally going to put Elizabeth on the spot, but introverts.
Yes. It's true.
Well, I think it also appeals to people who have already maybe done a tour. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they've been to Europe and they've done the highlight things, but they wish they had spent a little more time in a certain city or something.
Yeah, they picked certain places that they totally fell in love with and want to go back to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they have specific interests.
Yes.
I helped two women in November who really wanted to go to Italy, but they really didn't have any interest in, and y'all get ready to say boo now. But any interest in the art and the history, they wanted to cook their way through Italy.
See, I don't have any problem with that.
You've done Rome. Yeah. You've done the Vatican.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. You know, they did Venice, Bologna, Florence, Rome, Naples, and every city they learned how to cook a different kind of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. But for them, a typical tour wasn't what they wanted.
Right.
So let's talk about maybe some of the things you lose in going from, like, what would be the most noticeable thing that you, in transitioning, going from, like, a group where everything's set for you to this independent type of travel?
Pampering. I mean, somebody taking care of every little detail for you. I think that's the biggest thing that you lose. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to get yourself to the train station. You have to know when the trains leave. You have to figure out how the tickets work. You have to figure out where your seat is. There's nobody there to, I mean, there's people that can help you, but there's no constant, you know, George, your tour director is not going to be there for you the whole time.
You have to know that you need yours to use the bathroom. Yeah. Yeah.
You have to know, you have to pay closer attention to the schedules for when things are open.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all museums and not all galleries and not all the things that you want to do are going to be open on the days that you may have scheduled. Actually just worked with a couple on an independent, trip that before they contacted me had been planning on visiting a museum on a day it was not going to be open.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
also go ahead. Into some of the little towns too. So if you want to do a little town off the beaten path, that, I mean, chances with the bigger tours, they don't usually go to those kind of places, but you can when you're doing something independently.
And I think it's actually very typical for people if they may be like, I want to take my dream trip to Ireland and I want to see all the things that I can possibly see in Ireland. So an escorted tour works really well for that. But then I also want to go to this little town that my family's from and I want to see, you know, the family homestead or whatever. Well, you know, the tour company isn't going to take you there. So we can add that on to the beginning or the end of a trip. So that you get to then, you know, usually the end is best because by then you're a little bit more comfortable in the country and you've had your hand held through a lot of the processes. So then you're ready to sort of go on your own. So that's how, you know, that can, you can actually combine group travel.
Yeah, you can do pre-nights. Like if you're doing, say you're going to do a river cruise, you could go a couple days early and spend a couple nights in Paris or Amsterdam or something like that before you hit your river cruise. But actually, that's what my parents are doing with their, they're doing the Mediterranean, but they're going to spend like 3 nights in Rome and do the Vatican and all that stuff because my mom's a good little Catholic and she's not going over there without going to the Vatican.
Well, lots of people go to the Vatican even if they're not Catholic, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but my mom, if she's going to Europe, which I cannot believe she's going to Europe, yeah, they're not missing that. But they're doing, you know, so we have part of it set up down to where, you know, there'll be someone in the airport with their name on a plaque and they've got transfers. So they really don't have to think about much. They're not on a guided tour. It's not set in stone, but they have some excursions planned and they have someone that's going to pick them up and take them to the hotel. I made sure it's a hotel with a concierge that can help them, you know, while they're there. So, you know, you can kind of up the hand-holding if you want.
Right.
If you, yeah.
My husband and I prefer flexible travel when we do something because we usually stay at resorts and places that are a little off the beaten path. We rent a car, unless we're in Italy. We never rent a car in Italy. But when we were in Germany and Austria, we rented a car and we drove, you know, all the way around, you know, the Dolomites in northern Italy where, you know, they still can drive. But we did, you know, we did little restaurants and things like that. We stopped at grocery stores and, you know, picked a picnic lunch. You can't really do those things when you're on a tour.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like this is a good time to remind you that because you saw it under the Tuscan sun doesn't mean that's what it's really like to drive around Italy and to wander down to the country markets. I'm not saying that picking on anybody, but we get these ideas and they're molded into our brain and we think, oh yes, I'll just get my little convertible. Can't you just rent me a little convertible like
my
a drive
scarf.
To Tuscany?
Yeah.
You know, first of all, Tuscany is a region and not a place. You know? And there's lots of little towns. And you know what? People don't speak English there. And there's not, you know, the old man down the road is not going to come help everybody. And you're not going to meet this painter you're going to fall in love with. So, you know, it's in no ways critical, but we just get these images in our mind of what it will be like. And it's good to, you know, like, if you think you're going to drive in the city of Florence, you've got to pay a special tax to do that. And it's a pretty big tax, you know, so it's just to rethink what the realities of what traveling in another country look like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where travel education really said, let me, you know, it's not that you can't have your dream of driving through Justin. But let's think about that a little bit more. So,
yeah. And driving the Autobahn and hitting 100 in a Peugeot.
Yeah. I do highly recommend driving there. Yeah.
Or driving through Iceland at night when all the gas stations are closed and not having European credit card with a chip.
And there was that time when I was a kid where we rented a car and my dad could not find a rest stop to save his life and I thought he was going to explode. The poor man was just dying and there was nowhere to stop. So yeah, there are drawbacks to those, you know, all of those things that can go wrong with any trip. And even, you know, a lot of people don't think, and this might be a good reason for us to talk about maybe why you want to use a travel agent in this case, because we say independent travel. And so as you're listening, you might be like, well, you mean travel I plan by myself? Why are you guys talking about that? That doesn't... So keep in mind that independent travel, you can have help planning it. And that's highly recommended because there are things, I get phone calls like, well, we want to rent a car in Dublin and drive it and drop it off in Belfast. Yeah, no, you can't do that. That's another country. And in general, you can't, I mean, that's like renting. Can you even do that? Can you rent a car in New York and return it in Toronto?
Maybe, if you pay enough money.
I don't really think you can. They don't, like, because of the way the taxes, I don't really think that's okay. I think you have to drive it back. But I do know,
I've never tried.
I do know that you cannot rent a car in Dublin and drive it to Belfast and leave it. You can drive it to Belfast and then come back, but you can't do a one-way, something like that.
Well, I mean, there's a company out there that we use that they do kind of that happy medium where you have a local guide that you can call to help you make reservations and all. But it's completely independent. It's like, hey, I want to go to the Vatican today. Okay, so let's get you in the Vatican.
Yeah, one of the things I like about that company you're talking about, Donna, is that they have the local guide meets you your first day, and you do kind of this orientation tour. So they kind of take you around and show you some highlights, and then you can decide what you want to do the rest of the time you're there. And you can call them and be in touch, you know, if you want more recommendations.
Well, I mean, not to knock that company, because it is a great one, but you can also, I mean, I can also arrange a private tour for you when you get. So when we first got to Paris as a family, that afternoon we had a private guide for 4 hours walking us around our neighborhood where we were staying, mm-hmm. and also then where, you know, wherever we wanted to go. And so we told her, you know, we want to go see Notre Dame and we want to go see that area. And she walked us around, she showed us where the best place to get ice cream was and the best cheese shop and like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can, there's ways to do it, it depending on the level of help that you need.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and plus it's nice to have somebody there, even if you think you already know exactly what you want to do, to kind of have a second set of eyes on your work, to make sure you're not going to be planning on a train that's not going to be there, or a bus that doesn't run on the day that you want it to, to that tiny little off the beaten path town. But to make sure that you aren't kind of maybe having a, and I suffer from this myself. I have a unrealistic view of time, as my husband likes to say. I think I can do more than I really can in a certain period of time. And a lot of times what I'll see with these types of travel is people who want to do too many countries in a short amount of time.
Yeah. My favorite is, we want to go from Paris to Rome on the train. You probably don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you have that romantic view of the long train ride. You have no idea how long that is. It really is long and expensive. And yeah, that's not what you want to do. So now if you want to take the train from Paris to Nice and then from Nice to, you know, maybe Milan and then, yes, you probably do want to do that. But
well, they want to go from Paris to Rome on the train. And then they just like to do a day trip to Santorini.
Yeah.
Just a day trip.
Let's be realistic. They just want to go to Sicily for the day. That's so. And we're laughing, but it's very easy because you know you're sort of told your whole life that Europe is much smaller and you can go from country to country, and you can. I mean, you can be in three countries in one day if you're right there on the border. You can totally do it in an hour. You can do it, but just like you can be in three states within an hour if you drive it right.
Yeah.
But it's not everything is as close as you think it is. And so it is really important. And that whole back and forth. Well, we'll do London and then Rome and then Paris because that's more convenient. I mean, I guess it's because of your flight that you think that's more convenient, but that's really a lot of travel that you may not really want to do. Or you may, and in which case you
may. The other thing is that in our minds we think, well, if we're spending all this money going over there and we're going to go for 10 days, we want to get as much in as possible. So just book us for 2 nights here and 2 nights here and 2 nights here. Well, that sounds great, but the third 2 nights that you're packing up and leaving again, you start to feel like, I'm going to go home tired than when I came.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we'd done 3 cities for 3 nights. It would have been a whole lot better experience.
So. The quality of your experience rapidly starts to deteriorate every time you have to change a hotel and get on a train. And that's the other thing is the transportation. Logically, you think a flight is the fastest way. A train is the fastest way. It's faster than a bus. But that's not always the case when you're dealing with Europe. Sometimes the bus is the quickest option compared to the time schedule, or sometimes vice versa. It's one of those things that's an area we can all really help you with.
Yeah. Well, I had clients who were going from Prague to Wrocław in Poland, and you would think that there's a million trains that do that. There's not. And actually, they ended up on a bus. That was the best way to go. Same thing in Spain. I had, people going out to Alhambra, and the bus was the only way to go. The rail stopped. Thank goodness I had Heidi, because she knows that rail system really well. And I was, and you know, so even we don't know everything either, but we have great resources to find those things out. So, you know, in organizing pretty much any trip, and I just did two very different, very similar spring break trips for two families that focused on London, but there was a little Paris in there, depending on the family. And one family really wanted to see a soccer match in Manchester, really wanted to see a soccer match in London, and really wanted to see the beaches in Normandy. We had to work really hard to make that happen without killing them. And the whole time they were like, this is going to be really exhausting. So I'm like, do you want to leave something out? Nope, we don't. We really want to do this. So we tweaked and made it work. And they ended up only staying one night in Manchester. It was just basically like, let's see the game and get out. And then they extended their time in London a little bit. And then, yeah, they had just a few nights in Paris. And an entire day there was spent going out to the beaches. But that's what they wanted to do. And they got back and they were like, it was the best trip ever.
Yeah.
So, but it took a lot of tweaking and it took a lot of talking things through. You know, they had not been, and I had been to all of these places. So, you know, being able to bounce ideas off of me. I have never done the trip that they've done, but I've done pieces and parts of it. So, you know, I was able to piece it together in a way that didn't kill them. They were tired. That's a rough itinerary, but
it sounds like they might have had teenagers. And
they had preteen teenagers.
And that's where your travel agent really comes into play, is that a lot of us, if I haven't personally been there, Elizabeth may have, or Lindsay may have, or I've been someplace they haven't, where I've spent a lot of time and I know the area. And that's where we make a great resource for each other to make that perfect itinerary for you, and know the pitfalls and know where you need to hustle a little bit and where you can relax.
Yeah. Yep. And even reliable ways to book things that, you know, we've actually just been chatting as an agency about one particular vendor that I think many of us are not going to use anymore, especially for certain things in Europe, because they're just not reliable. And we know that from experience, but they are all over the internet, all over the internet. So it'd be really easy for you to just go book them, not knowing that they're so unreliable.
Oh, they come up in the first, like, Google of anything, and they come up in one of the first results for anything. Yep. For, you know, and if you don't know, you can fall into that trap, and then you can find yourself without a tour, without a transfer, without a... Mm-hmm.
Arriving at the airport and your transfer is not there.
Yeah.
And you're like,
Well, and even I book Eiffel Tower tours through them, and I always tell people, there's a very high possibility this will cancel. Because they do. They sell their Eiffel Tower tours before Eiffel Tower tickets go on sale, and then they don't get enough, and they cancel.
Yeah.
And then they just cancel.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they're canceling, like, the people that, like, were at the end. Like, the earlier you book, the more likely you get one of their tickets, but I have no idea. They could just throw the names up in the air. And I have no idea. Yeah. There's no way to tell. So I just basically, I know from experience, if we book this Eiffel Tower tour, I would say it's a 50-50% chance based on my personal experience that it will cancel. Or at least part of it will. Going to the summit will cancel.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Yep. Yep. You can imagine my first few clients that found that out. Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. So now I can tell people, look, we'll book this, and then we'll cross
our fingers. So they're the only ones that
do it? They're the easiest to find. But the thing is, they're the only ones who sell before the tickets go on sale. The Eiffel Tower doesn't actually sell their ticket or distribute their tickets until, like, I think it's between 45 and 90 days before. I think it's 45 days before.
So can you just walk up and do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. I didn't wait in line.
But if so, if they cancel, then they can still buy it. So
think about people who say, what we're going to do, we don't really need a travel agent because we're just going to kind of go to France and just kind of wing it.
I say have a great time.
Yeah.
I just had, and this is the sweetest couple to ever listen to this. Hi, Mishi and Scott. I met them off chance. They had, and you guys are going to, like, this is a travel agent horror story. Gather around the campfire, kids. They had purchased their tickets for their 15-year wedding anniversary trip to London and Scotland. And they had no hotels booked. They had nothing planned. They had their air, and that was it. They were going to wing it.
I thought you were like, they were coming to you to get the hotels. I didn't know they were just going to wing it there.
No, they were just going to wing everything. And wow. I met them at a New Year's Eve, no, football.
Super Bowl.
I hate football, so sorry, guys. a Super Bowl party. That thing where they throw the ball around in between the commercials we all want to watch. I met them at the party and kind of hooked up with them. And I got the sweetest email from her thanking me because they had an amazing time and they loved everything I suggested. And they were very happy with it. But they were just going to wing it. And that's, to me, like, I sent chills down my spine. I can't imagine. I'll never be that person that just buys a ticket.
Yeah. Could you imagine were they going to, like, rent a car?
They were just going to wing it. They were just going to show up and...
We'll just figure it out when we get there.
Yeah.
I did that too, kind of to a certain extent, and I booked a hotel. I called the hotel, said, do you have a transfer to the airport? And they said, yes. I show up at the hotel to check in, and nope, they didn't. So I went back to the train station, got another hotel that was a lot less money because I was going to have to pay for a transfer anyway. It turned out that I paid extra so that I could have a bathroom, and the shower head was over the toilet.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you take a picture of that? That would be a really good...
many, many, many moons ago. but yeah, this was one of those things. Yes, I had a personal bathroom, but it's not quite what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. This is making me think of European Vacation, where they're in London, and they have like that bathroom that... The whole floor shares.
Yeah.
And you have that in a lot of B&B type places.
Yeah. People are like, oh, I want to stay in a B&B in Ireland. I don't know what you think. I mean, there are some great ones, but a lot of them are people's old farmhouses. Yeah, it's not.
I'll tell you what they think they're getting. They think they're getting the P.S. I love you experience. Yeah. I completely blame I blame Hollywood.
That's the end podcast.
Yeah.
We should do one of those reality or reality versus expectation.
And I think a lot of people come to me with the idea that if I plan an individual trip, I almost threw out the industry terminology. If I plan an individualized trip for them, that means I'm going to plan every second of their day. Now, there are agents, and Laura actually plans like great extensive itineraries, and she has a great market for that, and a great head for that. I am not that kind of traveler. I don't want something planned all along the way. I want a few key things planned. So that's how I tend to do it. So I think you also need to pick your travel agent knowing, okay, do you want someone who is going to book every minute of every day and find you like every single excursion? Mm-hmm. Or do you want a few key pieces plugged in? And then you want some suggestions for what to do with the rest of your time. And you're going to find agents who do varying levels of that. And so just because it's individual travel doesn't mean that we're not going to plan anything for you. It also doesn't mean that we're going to plan every minute of your day. I'm not going to tell you when to go to sleep. I'm not going to tell you when to wake up. But I will say it's probably better for you to go to Windsor early in the morning before the crowds get there. It's good to go, if you can get a fast track ticket on the London Eye and do it at sunset, then that's also going to benefit you. So those sorts of,
And in defense of Laura.
She's fantastic. I just said it's fantastic.
I am very aware, and I think it's important that you make sure that your travel agent is aware that this is your trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, so there are some people who that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They want to make sure that they have a tour every day. They want the structure of a tour or sometimes two every day or an experience. And then there are some, like I had three guys going to Italy this July for 11 days. And so far, just one tour. They want to make sure and see the David.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's the one tour that we've put in place.
Yep.
And other than that, we've booked hotels, we've booked their flights. I've got them lots of suggestions in areas, but that's their only tour or thing that I've scheduled so far for them.
Yep.
So, I do think it's a great, a valid point that, you make sure that your travel agent is listening to you. And if you keep saying, I really don't want to do a lot of tours, and they keep telling you you have to do tours, and maybe you get someone to listen. It's so, your trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I will throw myself under the bus as a traveler here and say that one other service related to this that we provide is I spend a lot of my time reeling in, you know, I want to do this all in the same day. And it's okay. Well, let's take a breath and think about how much time that's going to take, and helping people weed out the things that they can realistically do in a short period of time. Yet when I planned my own trip, I didn't have anybody to do that for me.
Talk you off the ledge.
so we travel poorly, so you don't have to.
Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. If we are all left to our own devices.
Yep.
I think some of us.
Yep. Well, and there are...
And I'm the complete opposite. I'm like playing one, I'm one thing, and it's like, I'm going to go do whatever I'm going to do.
It's just so crazy because I can be so realistic and rational when I'm looking at somebody else's trip when it's mine. Oh, no, I don't need sleep.
So you don't need sleep, Lindsay. I've traveled with you, and you can stay up really late and get up really early in the morning. It's very impressive. And I think, too, understanding the limitations of your family, because I've also worked with families where they're like, well, mom and dad are like, we could get up at 6 o'clock in the morning every day and, you know, and be at the pub until 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. But we got the kids with us, and we're going to have to pry them out of bed with a crowbar. So, if you know, we're going to have to pick and choose when we do an early morning. Yeah. And those are all things that your travel agent can help you sort of figure out. And even the order in which to do things, or things that you can do around the same time, you know, can we do Windsor Castle and Leeds Castle in the same day? I mean, I guess you probably could, but it's going to be miserable because they're in totally opposite directions. So, you know, choosing the way that you spend your time wisely, even if you don't like fine tune exactly what you're going to do, but giving you an idea of the things you can clump together.
Yeah. And helping you decide when it is worthwhile to splurge for the tour, and when it's better to take the free tour and no tour at all.
Mm-hmm. Or the hop on, hop off.
Where is necessary to do that? Where the where the best food tours? We're really great resources for all of this fantastic information that you would have to spend. Think about it. We've all made careers out of this. We've been doing this for thousands of
years. And, you know, that would say not only do we have each other's resources, but our clients then become our resources. You know, just like you will when you come back. You'll say, you know, oh my gosh, we found the best little pizza place in Naples. And it's right around this corner, and it's this, and you'd never find it if. You know, and then we get to store all those little pieces of information so that we can share them with, you know, the next person who comes down in the door and says, I'd love to go to Italy, but I don't want to go to the place that says, you know, all Americans must buy pizza here.
Yeah.
All Americans must buy pizza here.
And to circle back to, you know, Lindsay asked early on, I think it was Lindsay who asked, what is it that you lose when you move from an escorted tour? That was you, right, Lindsay? When you move from an escorted tour to independent travel. And by working with a travel agent, you get a little bit of that back. I mean, we're not necessarily traveling with you, although I'm happy to if you'd like to pay my way.
I'm happy to. But,
and there are times where we do, But then that becomes escorted travel, sort of. I think that that sort of gives you that safety net of, okay, well, I'm not going to have a guide with me all the time, but I am going to have somebody who knows what they're talking about advise me on these things and make sure that I'm, you know, pointed in the right direction, and that I understand a little bit about the geography of the area, and that my hotel is in a good location. Because, you know, when I grew up, again, to this whole we travel poorly so you don't have to, I remember when my dad put together a trip for us to London and Paris, and the top priority was spending as little money as possible, which I respect. But we ended up out by King's Cross Station in like a Holiday Inn, but like a fist fight broke out across the street from the hotel. And keep in mind, I was like 13 at the time, maybe 14. So my dad was like, this was not exactly the experience. Oh, and all the rooms had twin beds only. So my mom and dad got to sleep in separate beds. And so, you know, just things like that. And then in Paris, I had stuff lifted out of my room by housekeeping. We were in a 3-star. I actually remember the name of the hotel. I don't even know if it's still there, in the Montmartre area. And my dad picked it for price and location. It was a great location, but there were cats yowling and people throwing bottles. And I had things lifted out of my room. Now, I was a teenager, so my most precious possession was my Walkman, which I had with me all the time. But they did steal my Beatles, 20th anniversary, whatever, tape that I loved and listened to all the time, and I happened to not take it that day. And they stole, 2 bottles of Avon perfume, which, God bless them, I was in France. What are they doing with Avon perfume? Really. But whatever.
A little love, baby,
mercy stealing. They were
yes, maybe that was it. She doesn't need this crap. So, I think and my dad, he grumbled the whole time. He regretted every decision he had made along that way because he had just made decisions based purely out of pocket. Again, a respectable reason to make a decision, but you just have to be sure that it's really worth it in the end and that you're not going to be miserable.
Yeah. And time is money too. So if you're going to be spending time getting to the city center area and money, you know, if you have to take a train every day.
Because King's Cross is kind of out there. That's, I mean, you know, we were taking a pretty long tube ride in every day when we wanted to go sightseeing.
Yeah. I did that though. The first time I went to New York, we stayed in Clifton, New Jersey, and we literally had to go stand on the side of the highway and wait for the bus to come and to take us through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, it's kind of like that in DC too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't care.
Seems like a good idea.
We were young.
Well, and you know, if you're going to backpack, I mean, you know, we talked about you book a trip where you just book the flights and then you wing it. Backpackers do that all the time. I mean, that is a thing to do. So I guess if that's what you want to do, if you want to stay in hostels.
My one friend that did stay in hostels in college has a bed bug story to tell. So, not that you can't do that.
Think about it. If you're in your 50s, do you really want to stay in a bunk bed?
No. I was just going to say, I think the older I get, the more twitchy I get when...
I think I should throw out a disclaimer that you should always do a bed bug check, no matter what hotel you're staying at.
But I do, I'm with Lindsay. It's like, if you call me and you say that you want to camp or you want to go to hostels, I am not the travel agent for you. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah,
and I think I'm pretty...
Bless your heart. I had a request like that. Everything else, but that is not on me.
Yep.
I don't want that phone call in the middle of the night. I don't want that phone call from Europe.
Yeah. Well, and do know
backpack got stolen because they cut our bicycle chain.
We have access sometimes to special airfare and things like that with packaging things, and that's a lot of times people get turned off. They think, oh well, I can book these hotels cheaper. I can get cheaper hotels. But I had a situation where I had somebody that wanted to fly into Germany and fly out of Italy, and they wanted to basically backpack across. But I put together a package for them that was fairly inexpensive because I found air for $550 a person. Wow. And they said, well, but we can do better with the hotels, so we're just going to spend more on the air. So they basically spent twice as much for their air and then stayed in hostels. And the price came out about the same in the end. It's like, why would you do that to yourself? Why would you sacrifice that? So don't, sometimes the price difference is really not great enough to make it really work, unless you really want to live in communal situations and meet people that way, which is valid. I don't understand it as an introvert, but if you really love sleeping in a room with 6 other strangers, go ahead.
I couldn't sleep.
That's awesome.
I would be afraid to shut my eyes. I couldn't sleep.
Oh, and they would hate me because I'd be up every 4 hours to go to the bathroom.
Climbing down the bunk bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your foot by someone's head.
Yeah.
The truth about middle-aged travelers.
No,
the real reason why as we age, we don't want to. My back hurts too bad to and then you talk about people who are, I'm not going to get the sleeper car, but we're just going to sleep on the train, sitting up in the seats. Those people have obviously never been on those trains. And
it's actually even kind of hard to sleep in a sleeper car on a train. You're jiggling around and,
I had a good experience. I was actually able to sleep, but I have my own private car.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that was for me, like, that was the deal breaker. I was willing to pay extra so I could lock the door and know my stuff was safe.
Yeah, well, I have a young friend, and I think she's barely 30, who just did her first train experience, and she wrote, "Note to self for sleeper car, get the bottom bunk."
It is.
That's why they invented Ambien. Yeah,
she had to get used to the top bunk shaking and the noise of the train, and I private messaged her because I don't ever want to call anybody in public, and said, "That's what I really could have helped you."
Yeah.
And then, I know you decided to plan this trip by yourself, but these are the kind of ways I could have really helped you.
Yeah. And
people, I think sometimes they think that, you know, like, I want to be independent. I want to be independent. I can do it on myself. I don't need a, you know, I think it's just a misconception that, that, oh, I have the internet and I can Google.
Yeah.
But you can't Google.
And you know, I do have some people who just, quote unquote, love to do it all themselves, and the thing that I've said to them is, there is a happy medium here. It's like, you know, when I was growing up and learning how to cook, and I would take something into my mom, who was a much better cook than me, and I'd get to a certain stage and I'd say, "Does this look right?" And she'd taste it and mix it and look at it, because she had much more seasoned eyes than I do. She could tell just by the way you needed it or whatever, if it was, you know, right or not. Well, I tell people, go ahead. If you really enjoy that, do it. Bring it to me. Let me take a look at it for you. And then, if you'll let me book it for you, then I'm there also as your ally when you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So have as much input as you want. Let me see if there's anything comparable to what you found that I can find you at a better value, or maybe a little bit closer in, or that you haven't done. Let me take the thing that I do 8 to 10 hours a day, lay my eyes on it, and say, "Oh, a little bit more salt here would be good."
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me bring it. And I think there is some compromise to that, you know.
And one of the big things that I always say is that it's not when things go right, it's when things go wrong, when your travel agent comes into play,
mm-hmm.
where that's where we earn our money.
Yeah.
And let me say, in preventing things from going wrong as much as possible. Because,
yeah,
you know, we don't like to deal with a problem any more than you do. So the idea is that we're really trying to ensure that you don't have problems, which is why we may sometimes steer you away from a particular hotel or a particular situation. Because it may go great, but it might not. And we know why, and, you know, and would share that with you. And just a little secret, my clients plan their vacations. I mean, I ultimately plan it, but it's all in conference with them. What do you want to do? What do you want to see? What's important to you here? When you dream of going to London, what are the top three things you feel like you... I ask all of those questions. It's not my trip. I love London, and I could tell them all day about all the things they should see in London, but it's about what they want to see in London.
It's like saying, what's the best candy bar?
Yeah, exactly. Or what's the best book to read?
Yeah. Yeah,
tell me what's on your
My cousin had the problems with one of the big online travel vendors, and he's still, after 2 years, waiting to get his refund.
Oh, yeah. Okay, keep waiting.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The thing that I said about, you know, it's when things go wrong, and I shared this with some of you already, but, you know, I have clients who just left for Paris, and we didn't find out until they were just getting on their plane that their transfer that was supposed to meet them there at the airport canceled.
Wow.
You know, and that was at 6:30 at night here, 1:30 at night, or 7:30 at night here, 1:30 at night their time. And luckily, we have a great supplier who kind of hung in there with me, and by the time they landed on the ground, there was a new transfer service sitting there with their name on the board. They never knew the difference.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
that's the difference of, you know, you going, letting the transfer yourself, getting on the plane, and there you are. And now what do? You know, you've got this $175 trip, whatever. You know, you've all this money. They don't show. They don't answer their phone. You know, so.
And I've had
that's why you use a travel agent.
Yeah.
I've had it happen with flights. I'm sure everybody here has too, where my client's flights got canceled and I was able to call and get them rebooked while everyone else is standing in line waiting to get rebooked.
And we can't always do that. It depends on the situation and why it canceled. But yeah, I've actually rerouted my clients. You know, they had to get to a cruise ship and this was US travel, but I had to call and get them because the airline put them on the next flight out that they could get for them. But it wasn't until 6 o'clock the next night, which was about 3 hours after their ship was supposed to leave. So I actually got them sent from another city. I arranged a rental car for them and all of that very quickly while they were still freaking out in the airport. So it's those things. And so when we work with vendors, that's, you know, keep in mind that these online travel agencies, and that is what they are travel agencies, but they're booking by bulk and they don't care. They're booking this, yeah. You know, they're booking these transfers all electronically. There's no personal contact being made. They've basically hooked themselves into these transfer companies. And, you know, if the transfer company cancels, they just push a button and cancel and your online travel agency may not really care. You know, at that point, it's out of their hands. They're not going to.
Or you can't even get in touch with them. Yeah.
Yep. So that's.
Getting them on the phone.
Yeah. So there's nothing. I think it's important for us to say there's really nothing wrong with independent travel. We're not blasting, you know, all the things that could go wrong with independent travel. What we're saying is it's a great way to travel, but it does help
still
to have somebody else. Yeah. To plan a few things out and be cautious about what you're booking and when you're booking it. So
yep.
I had several people call me for London for mid-May because that's when they wanted to go. And I said, you do know that there's a wedding going on. They're like, why are hotel rooms $800 a night? Well, there's this little wedding happening.
I had to remind someone they were going to Paris on Bastille Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, this is why it's so much.
Yep.
Bastille Day.
Yep. Crazy.
Yep. Well, that is actually our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, and then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode that you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. So on behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Laura, Elizabeth, and myself, Donna, we want to thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.